see the backstory. And the backstory is pretty large here. So I'll do a lot of organizing today. Do a little bit of, a little reasonable amount of lamdas. And then, of course, the big lamdish explosion will come tomorrow. Okay? Fine. What do we have? So Abaye says, Amar Abaye, let's reset ourselves. I just have to make sure I've got all my sheets out. Amar Abaye, Abaye has two statements. On Bava Medbeis, what are Abaye's two statements? No? Mekadesh ben milva einu mekudeshes, banos milva mekudeshes. So we're going to take it easy and slow. We're going to talk about the first part today and the second part tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. As long as it takes. The first part is relatively easy, but it's a good setup. You can't be mekadesh ben milva, namely, the woman owes you money, you can't say keep the money. That won't work for kiddush. Now, of course, we want to be very attuned to whether this is a particular Kiddushin fail or it's a general, finish the sentence, not a Kiddushin fail, but a general. Say it a little sharper, you're right, but what type of Kinyan are we trying to execute? Kesef. General Kesef fail. Kinyan Kesef fail. Okay. When we have failures in the sugya, they localize because of the unique halachas of kiddushin, which is going to help us sharpen what kiddushin needs. Or the general kesef fails globally, Ramban, and we can't really learn much about kiddushin. So anytime you have a psul, is it a local psul? Is it a structural psul that happens to manifest in our sugya but can affect other sugyas? Most of the discussions about mekadesh ben milveh are going to be global psuls. But we will meet a lot of cases in the sugya that don't work. There's a lot of gray space in between Abaye's two poles that may or may not work that we're going to be exploring. It's easy to set the poles. Abaye's case doesn't work. Okay. Hanas Milva does work. Okay. What about all the middle cases? So we're going to talk about a lot of middle cases, some that work, some that don't work. And some that don't work will not work for Kiddushin-related issues, not Kesef-related issues. But this is all to come. This is just a preview. But this whole discussion, whether you marry a woman with a milveh, did it first emerge in Abaye? Fourth century? Amorayim? Fourth generation Amorayim? Who talked about it? A very, very, very early Amora. Rav. And before Rav, it seems as if there's two or three Tanaim, Machlokas, Toseftas, Brisas that talk about Mekadesh B'milveh. So at the very least, we have to see what's going on in those sugyos, set up our baseline, and then see what Abaye is trying to comment on. Okay, so it's clear that Mem Zayin comes before Vav in anyone's book, except for the actual Sefer. But logically, you have to know what happened before Abaye said what he said, what were the baselines, and what was Abaye trying to comment. So let's move over to Mem Zayin. When I say move over, I literally mean move over for a good 20 minutes. This is not just one line here or there. You have to really, really see what the Gemara will learn. A blot Gemara right now. Highlights. It's a highlight show. Highlights of Mem Zayin to Mem Ches. Okay, let's start the highlight show. Amar Rav, first wide line. Mekadesh b'milveh eina mekudeshes. And he gives a reason. So this you don't have in the Tanayim. You have a lot of cryptic statements in the Tanayim. You don't really have reasons. Rav gives a reason. Milveh lehotza nitna. Which means what? Didi? Which money? The dollar bills. The dollar bills are not now translated more accurate, not accurately, but more relevantly to our topic. You can't be Mekadesh a woman with the dollar bills you loaned her because those dollar bills are hers. They're not yours. Because of Milveh lehotza nitna. Don't think that the Malva still owns the dollar bills, even if they haven't been spent yet, presumably. No. The woman owns the dollar bills. The borrower owns the money. That's hers already, pre-Kiddushin. A month ago, you loaned her the money. Now they're hers. You can't be Mekadesh her with that money because it's not yours. Now, the Gemara actually finds a Tosefta that argues, which would be a problem with Rav, because how could Rav argue on a potentially, or at least be interesting to see how Rav holds, Nema Kitanoi. It turns out that Bryce is really talking about a totally different case. It's not talking about Mekadesh B'Milva. We thought it was. But then we have another braisa, and in this braisa we have names, not just tanoi. So let's see the second braisa on the bottom. Meisvei. Ha'omer li'isha eskatshali b'pikado. You want to marry a woman with a pikado. A pikado is in the reshus of the mafkid, because the nifkad is watching it for the mafkid. So it's like he's your pseudo shliach. So it's like you have it in your reshus, so you can be mekadesh. Uvimilva, more relevant for our sugya, second line from the bottom. Uvimilva, you want to marry a woman with the money you gave her. Afal pisha lo nishtayu himenu shavaputa mekudeshes. Wow, this is a very, very provocative sheet. According to the Tanakhama, even if all the money's been spent, you can marry her. This is not going to last in the final cut. And Rishim ben Elazar says, Milva reo ki pikada. Very ambiguous statement. Milva's just like pikada. The Gemara rejects this. This brisa is, I don't say corrupted, it's a negative. This brisa's transmission wasn't clear. So the Gemara says, Ela tritz hachi. So now we're on 10, 12 lines down. Two lines after Tosfos Dir Masrael, Tritz Hachi. Uvim Milva, the Chachamim of Rav Shimon Elazar are more Machmir, not more Mekel. Uvim Milva, Afal Pishin Ishtayer Menashav Prudinim Kudashas. According to the Chachamim, even if there's still leftover money, she owns the leftover dollar bills, she always owned them. Husband can't marry a woman with leftover dollar bills of the original loan. Rav Shimon Ben Elazar Omer, Milva Reo Kipikadon, that leftover dollar bills. Husband can still marry. So Rishon ben Elazar allows you to marry a woman with leftover dollar bills from the loan. Everyone wants to know, what did they argue? Ela hacha milvem, skipping a couple lines, birshus bailim lechazar ika benayu. How do we look at a milvem? When I give money to a borrower, someone who borrows money, to a lovem, pashtus is he's counted the money and he incurs a debt, but those dollar bills are his. And since those dollar bills are his, I can't be mekadesh a woman borrower with the dollar bills I gave her because they're hers already. And even if a couple original bills are left over, she didn't spend those original bills or gold, I can't marry her. Well, gold may be a shayla, but certainly bills is a halva. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says no. If there are a couple bills left over, they're still owned by the malva, and you can marry her. Now, Rashi and Tosfos impose a qualification. Even Shimon ben Elazar, who allows you to marry a woman with leftover dollar bills because you still own them, is only if... What? You didn't start to use the money. If you started to use the money and a couple of bills are left over, once you start to use the money, you own all the money, not just that which you use. Rishon ben Elazar is talking about where some of the money got lost. You never used any of the money, and there are a couple of dollar bills left over. This loan is still in its pristine state. It's still in the envelope. You haven't taken any money out. You lost some money, got burned, it got lost. So you have to check. There are a couple dollar bills left over. Of course, if all the money's there, you can use all the money that's there. But once you start to use the money to buy your iPhone, to buy your burgers, to buy your... Once you start using the loan, the mortgage, you own all the money. It's not like you use it based on dollar by dollar. Rashi, let's look at Rashi. Le'olam lotzar nitna divri akol. Rashi, dibra maschil vikamri. If you already started to spend the money, you open the package, you started using the package, you own it. You don't just own the part you used. And the malva can't take it back. Even if you only use the dollar, you got $99 left. Once you start using it, it's all the lova, in this case the woman, not the malva, in this case a potential baal. And therefore, he can't be mekadesh her, even according to Rishon ben Elazar. So, hacha, okimta Rashi, which is a fairly reasonable okimta, there's not such a stretch. Hacha b'shalohotzi menaklum. You didn't spend any money. Money's still in the envelope. Therefore, Rishon ben Elazar says, if there's leftover money, that money is owned by the malva slash baal, could use the mekadesh woman slash lover. And according to the Chachamim, even that doesn't work. Even before you use the money, it's yours. So the prospects of marrying a woman with the original dollar bills are very, very, very slim. The Chacham say you can't. Rishon ben Elazar says you can. And even Rishon ben Elazar, who says you can, has two conditions. A, there's some left over, obviously. And B, you didn't use any of it. Some got lost, some got stolen. Tosfos has the same point. Tosfos, Dibur Maschil Ela, He wants to know, okay, so now we know what the Chachamim Shimon ben Elazar are arguing about, but how does that avoid us saying that Rav's statement is a machlokas Tanaim? Remember, Rav said, Mekadesh Milva Einim Mekudeshes? He says, oh, the Tanaim talk about it. We're back to that stage where the Tanaim are talking about Rav. So Tosa says, Dibra Maschel Ella, Vim Tamar, third line, Akati Neema Rav Kitanoi. Rav's issue seemed like a blanket statement. Mekadesh Milva Einim Mekudeshes seems to be a debate amongst the Tanaim. What are we solved? So Taz says, "V'yeshlama de Rav nami savar kavase v'lo tikshemidi." Rav has nothing to do with the machlokas. Da damer Rav eni mekudeshes mari b'milve malve sheischilotzia. Rav's case is once you start using the money, everyone says the lova slash woman was kona the money. Everyone says the husband slash malva can't use that money because she's kona. The machlokas chacham rishit ben alaz is about a very very limited case. Shrink the scope. Well, you didn't spend the money. Some is left over. Does the lover still own the money? According to Shimon Elazar, you do. According to the Chachamim, you don't. Because the lover is called the lechatchilim, and you don't use the money. But when Rav said, on daf mem zayinim and alim, mekadesh b'milva, einim b'kodesh, it's just blanket. Talking about a case. We love normal cases. The lover starts to use some of the money. Lover starts to use the money. Lova slash ishis konet lekuliyama. Yes, leftover. No leftover. Doesn't make a difference. Bein lefi tanakama. Bein lefi shem ben elazar. It can't be bekadosh a woman with leftover money if she started to use the loan. So Rav was talking about where they started to use the loan. Ain't a mekudesh. I don't care if there's leftover money. Tachamim shem ben elazar. Chayis tanayim. You didn't spend the money. Couple leftover. A strange sheet of shem ben elazar. Most of us in this room would agree that the simple way to view a lova is that he's koned the money and he incurs a debt. You don't have to pay back those bills. Those bills are not owned by the malva. Let's say the bank, I go to the bank, I take money out, and you get to, which is basically a loan. Well, actually not. In Israel, anytime you take money out of the bank, it's a loan because no one has money in their bank account. So you always dip it into your minus. Right? By definition, anytime I go to the bank, I'm taking a loan. Like my goal is to get my account to zero. Let's say every Israeli's goal, can I get to zero? Can I get to zero? Because Israelis live in perpetual debt. So for months. So every time I go to the bank and take out money, basically taking out a loan from the bank and paying interest. But I own the money. The bank can't come and take those bills from me. I owe the money. I'll give back other bills. I'll put other money in. Those bills are not the bank's. Whether I spent it or I didn't spend it. According to Rav Shimon Elazar, if he didn't spend it, money left over. So as far as we know, the prospects of marrying a woman with the original bills are not great. Don't go down that road. If you want to go down that road, you have two conditions that may work. She didn't spend, there's leftover, according to Shimon ben Elazar, may work, but Rav was talking about what we spent in the Kuliyam. Okay, that's baseline. Avram.
The Rashi bills are saying, is that based on the Gemara or is it Svara?
It's based on a lot of Gemaras. The Gemara, because it was a Gemara above Messiah, and it's based on how we typically view Hova. It's accepted by the overwhelming majority of Rishon, and there may be a Rashi above Messiah that questions that in Daftalid, by Halach, but let's just say that it's a clear and compelling position. Not a shittas yachid. Okay, great. Now, there's one more monkey wrench in this sugya that we have to know about. Because after the Gemara talks about being mekadesh a woman with the original bills, the Gemara wants to know another case. What about your mekadesh a woman with someone else's debt? Okay, Rafi owes me money. And I go over to the woman and I say, the money that Rafi owes me, I'm giving you collection rights. I'm giving that debt to you as your kiddushin. So the Gemara says, here's basically the third statement of the Tanayim. Look at the Gemara. Did I give you this Gemara?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I hope so. About 10 lines from where it gets wide on daf mem zayinim and base. Nema kitanoi. Hiskanshi li b'shtar chov. Osha hayelo milve biyad acherim. Remeir mer mekudeshes, chamer mer eno mekudeshes. It's a machlokas tanoim. Remeir says yes, cham say no. And the Gemara updates. What are these two cases? And the love. Hay starchav hechidam, ishtalachem nimilde b'chem. And the love starchav didei mekadesh b'milve. We're talking about debts that someone owes you, whether they're milva b'alpeh, milva b'shtar, but this whole brice is not talking about the money the woman borrowed. It's talking about the money that Rafi borrowed from me, that he owes me, that I'm transferring to the woman as her kiddushin. Shtar chov de acherin. Or milva de acherin. Sometimes it has a shtar, sometimes it doesn't have a shtar. And at least according to Remeir, it works, and we possibly like Remeir. Okay? These are our sidelines. If you go out the sidelines, you're out of play. Play's dead. You can't be a Mekadesh a woman with the bills. That's what Rav was saying. I'm a Rav Mekadesh Milva and Mekadesh Milva Lotza Nidna. That's not going to work. On the other sideline, you're Mekadesh a woman with someone else's chav, it will work. Somehow we have to fit Abaye into those sidelines. Okay, see how we've created sidelines? If you go past the sidelines, the play's whistle dead. You fail. You can't be Mekadesh a woman with dollar bills. That's not going to work. You can be a Mekadesh a woman with someone else's chov. That is going to work. Everything we say is going to have to be part of those two parameters. Okay? Let's get started. Vavim Beis. Okay. Amar Abaye, Mekadesh b'milva ena mekudeshes. Now, of course, what Abaye doesn't tell us is, what aspect of a milva are you trying to be Mekadesh with? It's clear that it's not someone else's milva. It's her milva. It's not shtar chov diachem, or else Abaye would have said it. So you're trying to be Mekadesh a woman with the money she owes you. But what aspect of the money she owes you? I mean, we'll get to this, but in theory, what are the two or three aspects of the money she owes you, of this halachic reality that you could use? What could you be using theoretically for kesef? Give me three choices. Three, let your mind run, forget Mem Zayin, but in theory, what could you try to be Mekadesh with? Josh?
Collateral?
What would we call collateral? No, that's what Shibur. You have a certain right in her nechassim. You may be giving her nechassim back. That's the least apparent, but in theory, possibly the most effective. What else may you want to use, Avi? The money, the dollar bills that are left over. Unlikely, but maybe. Okay, Yosef, what's the third issue? Well, what hana? Ah, so the chov. Not the dollar bills, not the karka that I have a lien on, the actual land in Philadelphia that, you know, I can have a lien on, but there's something called a chov. If you want to take out a loan, the bank, before they give you a loan, they'll estimate your net worth. Based, and therefore they'll give you a loan and mortgage and interest rates based on that size of loan. How they estimate your net worth? Say, well, you have so much money, so much assets, money, real estate, whatever. They have so many debts. And now the debts are not necessarily going to be a direct deficit from your assets. Let's say you have $1 million in assets and $500,000 in debts. It's, you know, how much of those debts can we expect to be paid? Expected value. So let's say we'll expect 75% of the same thing. Let's say a lot of people owe you money. Come to the bank and say, well, I don't have that much money in my bank, but a lot of people owe me money. So they're not going to say, oh, we'll just tabulate the $500,000 people owe you, because who says you're going to actually collect? They'll default, they'll bankrupt, they'll run away. So we'll say 500,000 people owe you $500,000. Your expected value is $450,000 or $400,000. So a debt is an asset. When you come and sit with your bank, when you estimate your net worth, debts are assets. If you have a debt on someone, that's an asset. It's not exactly the full amount of the debt, but it's an asset. It's a halachic item. You can transfer that item. As we saw, you can transfer a debt that I have from Rafi to someone else. So maybe you want to be Mekadesh the woman with that. And Abai says it doesn't work. It's all open. We don't know. The only things we know from Mem Zayin is you can't use dollar bills, but you can use debts that other people owe you. Those are the only two guidelines we have from Mem Zayin and Mem Ches. Didi?
Could you also suggest a physical star, you know,
that unlikely, because then it's not star, it's just it's not a chov, not a mill, it's a piece of paper, and then it's just a Sasa Valley piece of paper. Wallpaper, yes, you know, chewing gum paper, probably not, depending on how much value it has. Okay. Which Rishon says that Abaye is basically repeating Rav? Abaye's whole purpose is to reinforce what Rav says. You can't be Mekadesh or a woman with dollar bills. The Ritva. Very good. Ritva says that Abaye was referring to the dollar bills, the original mouse, and it doesn't work because, oh, I forgot my Ritva. Anyone have a Ritva here? Anyone have a Kovetz Ritva? Rishonim? Okay, you want to read it? First person that gets there gets to read it. Come on, let's go. Race is on. They're closing this mark.
Yikra Pirush, Amikadish Gufa Shomilvet, Shomilvet Haret, Kadesh Abi.
All right, so it's pretty clear, Yosef, that he's not referring to what you're referring to. Not the Mechila, but the original Gufamo. So let me read the end. Why does he say the last couple? Okay, and that's what it does work. We're not interested right now what it does work. And then the end, why does it not work, the Gufa Shel Milva?
The
Ritva? Even if the money is still there, it's not a question of whether it's still there. Even if he hasn't spent them, what does he say?
Oh, wait, no, my bad. It's a few lines after that. The chiyuv of the dati is to say, "Habalei mekadish bedavar she'ino shelo." The milva lo tzad nitna, the ein the malve.
Whoa! That line sounds familiar. Milva lo tzad nitna. Who used that line a few hundred years before Abaye? Rav to explain why he came mekadish milva. So essentially, the Ritva is reading Rav right back into Abaye. This is also Tosfos in Ksuvos, Ayin Dalet, which we'll get to. We'll have to look at Ksuvos today. It's also possibly Rashi. Rashi is a little bit slippery here in our sugya. Let's see two Rashis in our sugya. First Rashi is HaMekadesh B'milva D'Amar, very short Rashi, Hiskad Sheli B'milva Shehil V'Sicha. Doesn't mean what Yosef was saying. Doesn't mean what Dr. J was saying. It doesn't mean what Rav was saying. Pnei Yeshua thinks it means what Rav was saying. Milva shel visicha. I'm trying to be mekadesh with the original mouse. Milva shel visicha. Now that's supported by another Rashi. Which other Rashi? Anyone notice in Rashi?
Okay.
Correct. Right. Also very good. And then look at the Rashi at the end of the sugya, where we find cases that will work, tomorrow's cases. This works, and Rashi is very liberal. Case A works, and B and C and D. A lot of cases work according to Rashi and Kiddushin. But then he says in the end of Lot Sricha, all the cases that work, Aval, here's a case that doesn't work. Ki mekadesh la be'ikr hamos. The Ikra Amos, Lav me the Yavla. He hadn't given her anything. Shekvar Haim Bershusa Haim Shila. So it's pretty compelling from Rashi and Kiddushin, unlike Rashi and Ksuvos, that Abaye was disqualifying the original Amos. There's one problem in Rashi. And we're not going to solve it today. Maybe we'll circle back at some point. But just I want you to see the problem. Oh, let's roll it back. What are you trying to be Mekadosh with according to Abaye? Original money. Why can't you be Mekadosh with that money? Not yours. Is it a condition problem or a general problem?
General problem.
It's not yours. You can't be Mekadosh with a woman. You can't sell it. You can't. Let's say I loan money to Ari Wise and I want to sell those original bills to Rilan. The bills are still in the envelope. Not my bills, your bills. You can't sell it. Can't be Mekadosh with a woman. Can't do anything to it. Great. What's the problem with Rashi, Dibra, Maschil, Enem, Kudeshes? Yeah, Rashi gives an explanation why Abaye Apostles, Mekadesh, Bimos, Rishonis. What's Rashi's explanation? Gzeres Akasav, Kicha, Kicha, Mistehefra. What? It's not a Kiddushin problem. There's something about the limud of Kiddushin that forces Kiddushin to be. This general, you can't do anything with that money. You can't sell it, can't be Makdish, you can't do anything with that money. It's not your money. She's kind of the money, the original dollar bill. She owes you the debt, Chaim, yes, he talked about, but what's Rashi doing in the Gzeres HaKasev in the middle of a seemingly global, intuitive soul? It's intuitive and global for the same reasons, because it's not yours, so that makes it intuitive and global. Why is Rashi giving a local Gzeres HaKasev? We don't need Gzeres HaKasev for things that are logical, and Gzeres HaKasev don't help with halachas that are global. Oh, we have some solutions here. Josh, what's the solution?
You can just say that Kifa is how you know it's like a normal
opinion
where it doesn't work.
Okay. But then once Rashi's Chedesh, we know that already from the Gemara that Kiddushin is a normal opinion. That was already established. Yes?
In a regular opinion, you don't actually need the money to exist.
What?
Specifically by Kiddushin.
Let me ask you the following question. I want to buy Sally's range in Montana. Sally can move to Montana one day, be a cowboy. raise cattle. I want to buy Tzeli's ranch in Montana. You're random enough to do it. Open up a shul there. Rabbi Arnold, everyone going to Rabbi Arnold's shul. So I want to buy Tzeli's. And I say, Tzeli, I loaned you money. The money I gave you, those dollar bills, that should be the Kesef Kinyan. Doesn't work, Elon. Can't use Moses Hashanahs for Kesef Kinyan, right? We're saying now. For Kesef to be Kona land, Karkonikets Mishal Jerachim, it's a general problem. We'll think about this. Don't worry. We've yet to have the last word with Rashi. Don't worry. Okay. What's the problem with his approach to the sugya? The very issue that makes it so simple makes it so problematic. Why is Abaye repeating what Rav said? If Abaye's whole purpose was to disqualify Kiddushin B'mos Rishonos, we know that already. The easy answer to that stylistically is, yeah, it's not what Abaye is trying to, very good. I'm trying to teach us the ratio. The ratio is just the setup. Here's the easy part. Now's the kicker. Here's the surprise. That there is a way to finagle a loan that a woman owes you into Kesef Kiddusha. The safe loan. We'll see this tomorrow in the next couple of days. Lozu afsu. You build up the chiddush slowly. Tanaim, we're aware of that, right? Very often you'll have the Tanaim, right? What are the two stylistic ways to stack a Mishnah? We call them ascending and descending chidushim. What is it called in Hebrew?
Lozu
Apsu is ascending level, is more ambitious chidushim. Larakze, but Apsu. What's the reverse? What do we call it? The reverse? Where you descend in the level of chidush? Zu ve'ein sarach lomer zu. The big chiddush, the big bang, and about this is also. So obviously Tanayim structured Mishnayos in ways that you can remember by stacking them in ascending order, right? If I would remember the boys in Shia, the easiest way is for me to start with Sally and end with, I don't know, anyone called Z? No Z's here? Who's the last guy alphabetically? Who would it be?
Weiss.
Weiss, right, start with Sally and end with Weiss, the guy at descending order. When I want to find my files, I press date modified, descending, ascending. So Chachamim ascended, created descending and ascending. So Abaye said, hey, here's the platform. Nothing new here. Say like what Rob's saying. By the way, if you really want to marry a woman with her loan that she owes you, here's the way to do it. This is how you should concoct it. But many, many, many Rishonim felt that Abaye was up to something else. And Abaye was more similar to what Yosef is saying and less similar to what Rav was saying. And that Abaye was addressing trying to marry the woman with the chov or the shibud, but not the original money. The original money, we don't need Abaye to tell us anything. That's Rav's chiddush. It's sealed and delivered on memzayin. It's almost impossible to marry a woman with the money. Again, not just because the Tanaim shoo it away, because it doesn't make sense. She owns the money. Abaye was saying, okay, now let's explore the more theoretical aspects of the chov. Not the money, the dollar bills. Dollar bills, that's ridiculous. She owns it already. But what about the fact that you have a debt? Look at me. This is the debt I have. You can't see it with your eyes, like dollar bills, but it's a financial vehicle. Sophisticated economies create abstract financial vehicles. Sophisticated economies create too much abstract financial vehicles, then the economy crashes. Let's call it 2008. I'll sell you a bundle of bad mortgages. Well, the numbers stack and then everything burns. So the economy cycle. If everyone trades camels for donkeys, nothing, no problem. Take the camel, take the donkey. We all know what we're getting. There's no crisis. Of course, there's no food either because we're feeding each other hand to mouth. So we need sophisticated, right? Credit cards. Credit cards facilitate purchase. I can purchase in China through my PayPal account. It also facilitates bad credit, as direct credit, losing sight of. So economies are always this balance between sophistication and grounding. Make sure it's not too sophisticated. So a chov is sophisticated. Don't just think about donkeys, money, and dollar bills. A chov is an asset. I have a chov. I have a finance. Now, we're going to explore today what that means, what a chov really is. But we can talk. Halacha can talk about a chov. And I have a chov on the woman, and you know what I want to try to do? Look at me right now, I'm trying to give the chov to the woman. Give it back to you. It's called mechila. Like, give it back to you. Can I be mekadesh you that way? Now, we also know in the background, I forgot who said this, Josh, not just that I have a financial vehicle, but there's actually some manifestation in that financial element. It's called karka. I can come and take your karka if I want to. And the fact that I can come and take it means I already have a partial, potentially kinyan on the karka. So maybe I want to be mekadesh to the woman, not with the chov, but with the karka. So we'll see. But can anyone, you know, I'd rather be a surprise. I'm not going to ask you ahead of time. I'd rather be a surprise knockout. So I'm not going to give away the clues. Okay, so let's start. Which Rishon felt that Abai was not talking about the bills, he was talking about the chov? And because of that, we can learn a general principle about how halacha views chov. Who am I talking about? The Ran? Not necessarily. The Ramban. This is the Ramban of the Mochamos in Bava Kama. In the 1980s, when all the boys were applying for the Rothschild scholarship, and I didn't apply, and I was hearing them come back with the question, what sefer would you write? In my mind's eye, I said, I know what sefer I would write. I would write a Kahati-style sefer for all the Balamora Rambans and Shas. Because, boy, are they deadly. If you want the type of learning that separates real Amdanim, when I say real Amdanim, people who sit there with pencils and rulers and they pull their eyes out and try going through a 500-line Ramban, Balamora, and Bami. It's just overwhelming. First of all, because then they're writing shorthand in ways they don't write. It's more polemic. They're writing to each other, not that they live. They're not writing on the Gemara. They're writing, and just they're rifling the Gemara. Hey, Gemara. Hey, Gemara. Hey, the five right, six right. It's just like my dream would be to stop this world, freeze it for 100 years, and go through every single Balamor, Ramban, and Shas. That would be like the ultimate achievement. Ultimate achievement. One day should be Zoche. I mean, we'll try to up it. If we get Ramban Balamoras, we'll try to up them gradually. Many of them are in Nezikin, that's where the real action. In Kiddushin, you don't have that many long ones, but that's really men from the boys. That's really, you know, it's easy to read a Ritva, a nice little Tosus Rid, a Tosus, three lines. You go through Balamor Rambans. That's where it really happens. We used to have in Yeshiva, all these Chicago guys, the famous Chicago family called Patinkin. I don't know if there's still Patinkin members left in Chicago, but my friend was Gary. Akiva and Gary, the two brothers, and they live in, one lives in a front. Yeah, right, so we're in yeshiva with them. So Akiva Patinkin, who was my age, the Patinkins discovered they were descendants of the Balamor. So they decided they were going to defend the honor of the Balamor. Who was the Balamor? What was his name? It was Arachi Alevi, lived in France. And at the ripe old age of 19, he wrote a scathing parish rejecting many of the comments of the saintly Gaon that had towered over 200 years of Jewish Torah development. Who was that saintly Gaon that he attacked?
Riff.
It would be like Shaya writing a Sefer of Hagos against Lubavitcher. You'd be run out of town. You'd have to live on a mountain in a cave. Roshim Bar Yochai style. What? Roshim Min Hamara. You know, Roshim Bar Yochai. So here's a Balamor writing his parish, questioning everything the Rif wrote. And let's just say the Ramban wasn't too pleased. So Ramban wrote a Sefer defending the Rif against the Ravid. What do you call the Sefer defending the Rif against the Ravid? Sefer Aschus. Defend the Rif, but when he wrote a Sefer defending the Rif against the Balamor, he called it Jihad. This is Jihad. This is serious. Muhammad Hashem. And it's just breathtaking. I mean, this is where it all comes down. This is not the shallow pool. This is the deep end with the sharks. The deep end with the sharks. Balamor and Rambans. It's Givaldic. Deep end with the sharks. So he decided, Akiva Patinkin, that he's going to defend the Balamor, his Alter Zeta. And we decided that we're going to attack the Balamor. So we'd have these fights in the base medrash till like 3 in the morning about the Balamor. And it would be 1-on-7, talking about being outnumbered. We had Kira Patenkin fending off Yarakan, Moshe Targan, Moshe Lehman, we'd all be coming at him. And he'd try to find his Svarah. And made it real, made it like we really care. Like he had skin in the race. He wanted his Zeta to come out the right way. We had skin in the race. We wanted to stick it to him. So it was great. Those were the days. The fights in the Gush Base Matters about the Balamor. Okay, so Anyway, getting back to the Ramban. What's the topic? The topic is as follows. So, Byochanan, also a very important Amara. Byochanan had a statement. Very, very iconic statement. It appears, I can Bar Ilan it, I'm sure. That's how I Bar Ilan it, how many times it appears in Shas. Gezel velonis yaishu abaylam, shneim eni mechon lahakdish. If Yitzchak steals my water jug, probably did, so you can't transfer it be makdish because you don't, you're gonna. But I can't either. What do you mean it's mine? No, it's not under my physical possession. Okay, now I'm abstracting it for you. In halacha, physical possession, is that just physical? It's legal. If you don't have physical possession of something, namely someone stole it from you, even though legally it's yours, your legal ownership is crimped, is limited. And you can't sell it, you can't do it. Gezel, velonis yaishu abaylam, if it's stolen before anything happens, before yeish or anything, that will change the status. Shnehem enam yichalim lahakdish. No one can act on the item. Zel lefisha eno shalo, Yitzchak can't act upon the item because he's a ganav. Vezel lefisha eno b'shiso, I don't have physical reshus, I can't sell, I can't be makdish, I can't do anything.
Six.
What?
Six times.
I thought it was more. It's all over the place. Okay. How many times in Baba Kama? Twice? Okay, that's a very famous statement. Now the problem is, and this was the source of the machlokas already between the Gaonim, and someone asked me the other day, why we don't study so much about the Gaonim. And here you see the Balamar frequently adopts Gaonim, and the Ramban frequently rejects Gaonim. So here the Balamar is quoting Rav Haigon. Okay, Rav Haigon was one of the last Gaonim. Who was Rav Haigon's father?
Shiragon.
And they were the Rosh Yeshivos in the last remaining Babylonian yeshiva, named?
Sure.
Pumbedisa. That was the last yeshiva to make it. This was right at the bridge between the Rishonim and the Gonim. 10th century, 11th century. Amazingly, Rav Shrir and Rav Hai, father-son tag team, they had Arichos Yamim, which in those days was very, very uncommon. But amazingly, Rav Shrir lived to the age of 100, and Rav Hai to the age of 99. They almost got there. So these were the... So what were the major svarim that Rav Hai actually wrote that we still have, like manifestos on topics? Two topics he wrote a sefer about. He wrote a lot of tshuvos, obviously, and a lot of statements. There are two. He wrote a sefer on the halachas of shvua, called Mishpatei Shvua l'Rav Haigon. He wrote a sefer on Mekach HaMemkar, l'Rav Haigon. Those are the two large works for Rav Haigon. We still have, like, you can go to the Svarim shelf and take out the Sefer Mecca. And we learn them pretty regularly, you know, when we're learning Shavuos and when we're learning Kinyanim. If we have a chance, I'll try to quote the Svarim and bring them into the Shir. So the Baal Amar in Bava Kama quotes Rav Haigon and says, why does Rabbi Yochanan, to prove, listen to the logic, you're already at the stage, I don't just want to say one line, I want to give you the backdrop for the sugya. When Rabbi Yochanan tried to prove that something that's not in your Rishus, you can't sell, why do you talk about a ganav? Ganav is a double whammy. A, it's not in your assurance. And B, what other factor is there? There's an extra factor. What other factor? A, it's not in your assurance. B, you don't want to give it back. He's not cooperating with you. What about someone when it's not in your assurance who is cooperating with you? Can you perform kinyanim on that object? And the truth is, he doesn't say this, but there is a case. There is the other goalpost, the other sideline. Which object that's not in your assurance, but the person is holding it is super cooperative, and you can't be makdish and you can't be makdish. What am I describing? Pikadon, shomer. So if I give Josh my item to watch, it's not my rishos. Well, that's debatable. Maybe your rishos becomes my rishos. This is part of the debate of how to understand shomer. But it's not so simple. Rabbi Yochanan should have said, davar she'eino b'rishuso eni yochel lahakdish. Why is Rabbi Yochanan cooking up a case with an extra variable? Anytime you have a case with two variables, you don't know which is the primary variable, which is not. So this is what Rav Haigon said, that the only reason you can't be makdish, an item that is stolen, is because Yitzchak is not cooperating with you. But if the person holding the item is cooperating even now, or potentially will cooperate, namely someone who has a loan, comes up in the case of the Gemara Bava Kama with a gaboit staka. If I say this should be shayach to the aniyim, money that's in the gaboit staka, that's where it comes up. It's the whole conversation in Bava Kama. Can I take back money that I already donated for tzedakah, even if no aniyim has been kona yet? even if the money's not in my rishos. So the case of the Gemara where the money wasn't in the rishos and he gave it to Tzach, he wanted to take it back. Anyway, this is the Balamor. Let's read the Balamor together. Here's my sheet here. What good is it if... here it is. Okay. Here's the Balamor. The Otkos of Azer Rabbeinu Haigonzal. The Riff argues with the Balamor. The Balamor argues with the Riff, obviously. And what's the perfect candidate where something is not in my rishus, but the person that's holding it is cooperating? Alone. If Rafi owes me money, presumably he's a cooperative person, it's not my rishus. So according to the Balamor, you can transfer alone. I can't be makdish makne a gezel, but I can be makdish makne alone in someone else's rishos. Great. Amar HaKosev, the Ramban shoots back, V'tama l'atzmacha, heich adam yachal ha'akdish milva she'ena, shelo she'ena lo v'shusa, v'lo v'shus gaboy, v'gaboy tztaka, mikom akom lo kona me'olam, v'lo bar b'shusa. Key lines in the Ramban. Lo bar b'shusa. Achov is not considered a marishos. Now is proof. How do you know that, Ramban? Ramban goes off on a scavenger hunt throughout Shas trying to find a Gemara to prove that you can't operate on a chov. A chov I can't operate on. It's not my... Chov is a financial element, vehicle, but I can't operate. I can't be makna, I can't be makdish chov. I can sell my money, I can sell my land, I can sell my shirt, I can sell my house. I can't sell this financial element called a chov. Which Gemara do you think the Ramban is going to quote in Shas to prove this? Our Gemara. Because the Ramban read that according to Abaya, you're not trying to be Makadish the woman with the money, that's Rav. Trying to be Makadish the woman with the Chov, her Chov. You can't perform halachic activities on a Chov. It's not in your Rishos. Even though you have it when you get to the bank, Shaya, they'll factor it into your net worth, but you don't have it. Even if the guy's going to give it to you, it's not considered Bishoscha. The Isaka Daitach, the Ramban, second paragraph, Darish Bashus and Mikre, Kivan Shainala Misar Litain, because he's going to give it to you, right? Just close the Svarim and think logically. How does Halacha define Rishusa? Rishusa is a requirement for Halacha activities. I can only sell Makdish, Mikadesh, things that are in Marishus. What are things in Marishus? Physical or potential. We all know that when Isaac Yitzchak has the water, it's not Marishos because he's running off to Bermuda. He's running off to Mexico, Cuba. So I don't have it. I'm not going to get it. But if I'm sitting in the room with Rafi, he's going to pay me back in a couple minutes. There's a basin to enforce it. Is that something considered in Marishos? Can I be Makdish? Can I be Makneh? Can I be Makadish? That's what we're talking about here. Obviously, the ability to operate on items isn't just legal bylaws. You need this element called rishus. You need to have some control over it. Is control measured purely physically, whether you have it? Or is control measured by the ability to collect it? That will directly shape how we view chov. I don't have the chov, I don't have the money, but I have the ability to get that money. Can I operate on that value? Can I be makna that value? Can I be makdish that value? Can I be makadish that value? It's a very, very deep question. When you think about it, we just shoot out and just not just deal with what they're saying, but what they're thinking. Ramban says you can't. And the only way you can transfer it is by this magic trick called Mamet Shlushtan, which I intentionally didn't want to see who would like look it up and who would. I said, should I give them where they go? Just see if they'll grab. What's a Mamet Shlushtan? Anyone know? What? Three people in the room, Takanas Chachamim, I can move money around. It's like a little bit. Imagine the three people with the same phone, you just beam it to one another. Like beaming money around. Midrabanan, without kinyan. But otherwise, you can't move a chov. So the Ramban. Why would you need Mamet Shloshtan as a Takanas Chachamim if you can move a chov through regular kinyan? If I can be Makne Chov to you, who needs Mamet Shloshtan? Mamet Shloshtan is a response to the fact that on a deraisa level, there's no way to move a chov. Because it's Eino B'shuso. And you need Takanas Chachamim to finesse it. Now it gets interesting for us. Now, here we're back in Kiddushin. The Ode. Welcome home. The Ode. Put your bags down. Take it easy. Welcome back from your journey into Bava Kamma, Rabbeinu Haigon, Rava. The Ode. Amra Hamakadesh B'milva Eina Mikudeshes. And just to strike home the point, the Ramban compares Chov, which is really Eino Bershuso, to something even more remote that you can't operate on. What's something even worse than Eino Bershuso? Let's say I can't sell a water bottle that Yitzchak the Ganav has, but what can I definitely not sell? Nafshabaliola. So that's what I think the Ramban means. Some Achorim take it more literally. Know that it is a Davar Shel Bali Olam because the money isn't Bali Olam because it's still value and the value has to morph into money. I think the Ramban is saying, no, forget the money that I'm going to get. There's something called the debt. It is an halachic asset. I just don't have it in my rishus enough to operate on it. And just like I can't sell Davar Shel Bali Olam, the man says, Alma ki Davar Shel Bali Olam dami yin hekdesh nami Davar Shel Bali Olam. Our purpose is right now. That's not as crucial. So let's summarize. According to the Ramban, we don't know what the Baal HaMor felt. Anyone's guess how he read the Gemara Kiddushin. He could have read the Gemara Kiddushin like Rashi and Hetzion HaVaraya from Kiddushin Davav. But we know how the Ramban read the Gemara. And we're about to tackle the Ramban with a pretty, pretty big question. So get ready for a tackle. Ramban knows how to survive a tackle, but we're going to try to tackle the Ramban. The Ramban is saying, Abai wasn't talking about Mos. That was Rav's issue. I was talking about the chov. Can you be mochel chov to a woman? And the answer is you can't be makne chov. You can't be makdish a chov. You can't sell a chov. You can't be bekadosh a woman with the chov. It just doesn't work, as the Avnei Miluim says. Quotes the Ramban, just the perush. Midrav lamanu betama. The bekadosh b'milva enim mekudesh is the enim mishum tamid the Rashi v'tosvos. The tamachrina of the devil shabol yolim. Afagav diachol limchol alov avlaknosa eni yachol. Okay. Now we're facing two questions in the Ramban. One easy question, which we'll defer. We're not that so easy, but one question. Okay, Ramban, you're right. You can't be makne chov, because the chov is eino b'shuso, and that's your famous position against the Baal HaMor in support of the Rif. That's great. Against the Rav Haigom. But if we're thinking about ways, Yosef, to be mekadosh a woman with the chov, okay, I'll accept the fact you can't be makne a chov. But what can I do to a chov? So why can't I just be mochel? We know that you can be mochel. That's halachic activity. You can be mochel a chov. And we also know that when you're mochel a chov, person benefits because you don't have to pay the money. So I know I can't be, look at me, mekadesh the woman, here, take your chov, because that's not something I can perform halachic activities on. But why can't I just be mochel the chov and let that work? So we'll see tomorrow. Many Rishonim will say it does. This depends what your angle is. Are you trying to be mochel the chov? That will work. Are you trying to be makne the chov for the woman? That won't work. So we'll have this conversation, I promise you. We'll talk about different forms, mitzvah and different forms of mechilas chov. Why it would work, why it may not work. When I said, no, maybe mechila doesn't work for other reasons. And Bani isn't talking about mechila, but just keep in mind, you can't just say chov and say, well, you can't be makne chov. Okay, don't be makne it. Be mochelet. Okay, we'll see. We'll talk about mechila tomorrow. Right now we're talking about hakna. Ramban is safe. But wait a second, I got a bigger question, Ramban. I got a bigger, bigger question. Oh, really? You can't be makne chov. You can't operate on a chov, right? Because it's eino bershuso, like davar shel bali olam. You certainly can't be mekadesh a woman because you can't move a chov. What am I missing here? What's the question? Yes, sir. Chov decher. Remember the other sideline? You're running out of bounds. I can't be mekadesh the woman with her chov, but I can be mekadesh with Rafi's chov that Rafi owes me. Shtar chov diachayir, mayor. Ramban doesn't talk about this because that's not his issue in Bava Kamma. He's not. We don't have his parish on that issue in Kiddushin Minchas. All we're doing is we're pulling out a line from Bava Kamma where his primary agenda is to reject the Baal HaMor. We have Talmidim of the Ramban, which we'll see in a moment, but we don't have the Ramban's answer to this question. If a chov is eino bershuso, I don't own the woman's chov enough to operate on it, then how can I move Rafi's chov and be mekadesh a woman with it? Which Talmud of the Ramban asked this question that you saw yesterday? He doesn't ask it the way I asked it, but he asks it, and he's bothered by it, and he creates a distinction.
Ron.
And before we see the Ron, because of the question, he ends up reading the Gemara like the Ritva, not like Rashi. Not like the Ramban, excuse me. He ends up saying, Yosef, the Gemara is not talking about the Chof. Talking about the money. Let's see the Ron together. Let's all see the Ron. Open up the Ron. Chaf Amar Aleph, the Rif. His vantage point, his starting point is Memches, where the Gemara says you can be Mekadesh, a woman with someone else's debt. So he's saying, wait a second, how do I read Abayas? So he's not starting from our Gemara, but it's the same difference. Line number two, where it gets wide, Oz V'Hadar, page what? Nun Gimel. Kloma. Debemilva De'acherim, if I'm Mekadesh, the woman with Rafi's debt, Lekel Neymar the Daita Zuzei. She wants the debt, not the bills that I gave Rabbi. The Lom Rin and Hacha, the only time we say she's more interested in the bills and it would fail, Elabim Milva Dida, the bills that you gave her. Shekvar Haisem Mechiyevislo. Alo Kishuba Lekacha Bim Milva De Acherim, Ein Daita Liskadish Bezuzi, Elabana De Isbe. The difference between Mekadesh B'milva Eina Mekudeshes and Shtar Chov D'Acherim, there are two elements in each, the money, the bills, and the debt. The bills won't work, the debt will work. What's the difference? Why can't you be Mekadesh with the debt she owes you and you can be Mekadesh with Rafi's debt? What's the difference? What?
Psychologically,
what she's thinking of. When I say I'm marrying you with Rafi's debt, she never saw those bills that I gave Rafi. She's thinking about the value, and the value works against the Ramban. Or maybe not against the Ramban, but something about the Mechila, maybe not, but something works. But against the Ramban, the reason that Mekadesh B'milva Davav doesn't work is because what she's thinking about? The bills. If she would be thinking about the, it may work. Not clear from the Ram. So I want to say argues with the Ram, but it's not clear. But one thing is for sure. The Ram and the Ritva read the Gemara in Kiddushin Davav very different from the Ramban. Ramban read the Gemara in Kiddushin Davav. You can't be Mekadesh a woman with the Chov, because the Chov is not Rishusan, you can't be Maknit. The Ram and the Ritva read Mekadesh B'milva Mekudeshes is because she's thinking about the money, the bills, and the bills are already hers. And that's the distinction according to the Ron and the Ritva. I didn't read the whole Ritva with you. I read it off. Ryan read it. And the other Gemara. So I don't think it's hard to know whether this is the Ramban. Ramban just doesn't provide us information on this issue. We'll see another approach in the Rashba in a moment. But Rashi and whoever learns that the problem with Abayi is original bills sidesteps the issue. The Gemara in Kiddushin was never talking about the Chof. Or Kiddushin was talking about the bills. In theory, okay, in theory, Rashi could totally disagree with the Ramban. Maybe you can be Mekadesh, a woman with her Chof. The only disqualification that Abayi said is about the bills, and the bills, of course, is easy. So the Ramban made a commitment to how he learned Kiddushin Davav, and it was about the Chof. Doesn't tell us what's the difference between Chov Dida and Chov D'Acherim. The Ron, because of that, felt, you know what, the Gemara is not commenting on Chov. What the Ron would hold about Chov is not clear, but he's not commenting on Chov, he's just commenting on bills. Okay, so what I really want you to see in this sugya is, what is Abayi talking about? Chov or bills? If he's talking about bills, then he's not making a comment about the halachic status of a chov. Saying about chov, as the Ramban felt he was, then he's making a global statement that helps the Ramban and Bava Kama navigate how halacha views a chov. We'll see the Rashba in a few minutes, and then we'll go back to the continuation of Sugya Didi.
But can we just assume that the Ramah would hold that in terms of a Shakri about Therim, he could be the same as Iran and be on the Holy there, that he's just thinking, focusing on the Hana, so it's not really here, you know?
Could be. Could be. We don't have anything. Yes?
I'm sort of in the same vein as Didi. It makes sense that the Ramban's whole deal about, the Ramban's whole Shita, that Dabar Shalom about Olam, wouldn't apply when you're doing Hana. Because we have the cases of when she says, okay, here's my gold, make this into earrings. Or when she says, you know, schokofine or kodofine, it works.
So you're basically saying the Ramban would allow Mechilas Chov as Hana to be Mekadesh the woman. He's just talking about the Haknas Chov. Which one, the Ran, in Medaik and the Ran? It's hard to know. A lot of people feel the Ran argues with the Ramban. It's hard to know.
Tosi Gibra says that Dr. the Ramban is somewhere from the Ramban.
Right. Okay. Let's move on so we have enough time in the base Medrash. Okay. Let's take a look at the Rashba. I forgot to give you the Rashba and the Makaros. Again, it's not clear whether he's saying, a lot of people feel they're about arguing with the Rashba. Just let's see how the Rashba solves this Chov Dida versus Chov Di Acher. Take a look at the WhatsApp I sent you, please. This is the Rashba and Mem Zayin. Remember, we're learning two sugyas now, so there's no difference between the sugyas. It just happened to be 39 blot apart, whatever, 41 blot apart, but, you know, you're learning shas, you're not learning pages, you're learning topics, so they're obviously one whole topic, one whole sugya. So the Rashba, Dibra Maschal Yolam Shtarchov Diacherim, Mikol Makom, Kivan Shehu Motzi Hashibud, Josh, Mirashuso, Umachnisa Lirshusa. My Chov Diacherim, I'm Motzi Vishibud from my Rishus and I put into her Rishus. Havele Kinosein Pruta Miyada Liyada. Velodami la milve sheima, her debt. Taaz eno machnis lirshusa davar mechudash. Sheshibuda biyada haya. Now, what is the word that appears twice in this Rashba that can mean anything, not anything under the sun, but can mean a lot of different things? What's the word upon which this Rashba is pivoted? What's the exciting word, the headline word here?
Shibud.
Shibud can mean anything. It can mean a chov, it can mean a... If we feel that the Rashba is using the word shibud, not to refer to the chov, which is what the Ramban was talking about, and you can't move a chov, because it's eino b'shusa. But Josh, the Rashba is not talking about the chov, he's talking about the shibud nechasim. Then I can make a distinction between marrying a woman with her and marrying a woman with Rafi's. When I marry a woman with Rafi's, I have a stake in Rafi's Nechasim. Obviously, Rafi is the primary owner, but I have a stake. And that stake that I have in Rafi's, I'm delivering to the woman, and that's Kinosin Pruta Miyada Liyada. But when I'm just returning my stake of whatever I have in the woman's land, but she's had the land all the time, she's been the primary owner, I'm not giving her anything new. I'm just relieving, waiving my stake. You know what, I owed you money. There's nothing new I'm giving her. And that creates a real credible difference between Chov Dida, which fails, and Chov Diacherim. What does the Rashba think about the Chov? I don't know. He's not talking about the Chov here. Abayi was not talking about the Chov Yasev. He's talking about the Shibud. I assume the Rashba would agree with the Ramban and Bava Kama. You can't move a Chov. Great. But Rabbi wasn't talking about the Chov. Maybe he agreed with the Ramban. It was so passionate, he didn't have to talk about it. Rabbi was saying, what about marrying a woman with a Shibud? What about not the original bills, not the Chov, but the stake that Amalva has in the Karka? And Rabbi's Chiddush is, even that doesn't work. Because you're not giving her something new. But if you're giving her the steak you had in Rafi's Nechasim, then you are giving her something new. Now, of course, what's the presumption here? Now you have a bit of a chiddush about kiddushin. If you ask a woman, you have to give her something new. I'm giving her something, whatever. Presumably, I'm giving her my steak. It's not new because she already had the karka. So financially, it may be augmented, but it's not something she didn't have before. It's not an object she never had before. Can we start to build a chiddush? I mean, after all, I'm giving her steak. I'm giving her whatever steak. Again, it's not a, don't get excited, steaks. It's portion, percentages. Now, you could argue and say, the real reason you can't do that is because Shiva doesn't really mean percentages, it just means collectability. So you're not really giving, you're just waiving collectability. But that's not what the Rashba is saying. Or what Tosas is saying. Tosas seems to be like the Rashba. It seems like, when I have a Shiva, I have something in your land, I have something in the woman's land, and I'm giving that to her, but she already had the land, so it's not enough to Mekadosh your woman with. We'll talk about this extensively the next couple of days. I just want to see if you can start. I got to give new, because it's not enough to Mekadosh your woman with. I got to do it. Are you able to get this in the Rashba? Is that true? I'm giving her value. Something new. Okay, so I'll tell you. Let's turn on something you know already. Okay. Very good. What? Argue with the Rashba. You don't need something new. You just need to have value exchange. What does that remind you of? And what about the Sugya of Shavu Kesef? And what about the machlokas of Ban and Tosas? How does Kesef Kiddushin function? Piron or Kinyan? If Kesef Kiddushin is just getting value to the woman, then maybe I'd disagree with this Rashba. I don't need anything new. I just need that value moved over. You had the land. I had a little stake in your land. I'm giving you whatever stake I had in your land as your Kiddushin. But if Kesef Kiddushin is a Maisa Kinyan, then first of all, we talked about whether it works on Karka Bechlal. Can you use Karka Bechlal as Kesef? Remember the Rashba and the Itter? But even if you poskins, you can use Karka. You don't hold Makash Avai Liatzia. But at least it has to be known. When I give the woman the Karka, this is my Karka or Rafi's Karka. You never had it. Here it is. It's yours. Symbolic act of transferring Karka is a symbolic act of Kesef Kiddushin. What about when she's sitting on her karka and I just walk out of the stake that I have in her karka? And she always had the karka. I haven't done it myself in the scene as own kesef. So if you want, think about three different ways to read Abaye in descending order from obvious to subtle. What's the most obvious and therefore less helpful shita, less helpful in terms of sharpening our ideas? What's the most obvious reason to possible? You're talking about the, and the reason can't be Mekadosh with them is because she owned it. Okay. You don't get much from that in terms of understanding Kiddushin better. She owns the money. Obviously, it's the anatomy of a loan. What happens in a loan? Very fascinating. You have the Ramban Shita that says that what was Abaye addressing? Not the bills, but the chov, the debt. And Abaye's statement was you can't operate on a debt. You can't be makna debt, you can't be makadish debt, you can't be makdish, hekdish debt, you can't operate on a debt because it's eno b'shusa. Doesn't really help us for kiddushin, but certainly helps us for understanding how halacha views debts, which is the global issue. That's really ground zero for this conversation. Then Ban Balamar, Mavakama, Yitchas. Because of the pressure of chov di acherim, the Rashba has to become a little bit more nuanced. The Ramban, we don't know what he would say about the stira between Chov Decherim and Chov Didai. He didn't talk about it. The Ran gives a psychological difference. It doesn't work if you try to operate on the Chov. Well, we don't know about the Chov, but the reason it didn't work is because by your debt, you're thinking about the money. The bills. The Rashba, if we are meant to read him literally, That's why I like the Rashba more than, not more than Tosas, but you don't have the word Shibud in Tosas. She said Mechudesh and Mechudesh. In the Rashba, it's really, he tells us what we're talking about, and tells us, it's anyone's guess what you're trying to be Mekadesh with. A lot of people want to read them like the Ramban, trying to be Mekadesh with the Chov. I don't understand that, because what's the difference between Chov Dita and Chov Di Acherim? I think Tosas is talking, Kiddushin Mem Zayin is talking about Rashi, the original Mos. Then I don't know why he needs then the Chiddush is not really the Chiddush. And the Rashba, he telegraphs, presumably, what you're trying to be Mekadesh with. Not the Mos, not the Chov, but the Shibud, if the word Shibud means Shibud HaChasim. Kivan shu motzi ha-shibud mershusa, u-machnis l-shusa, v'le-kinosein pruta miyada liyada v'lo-dami v'mil v'shima d'leino machnis l-shusa davar v'chudash. And that's the biggest chiddush in the sugya. Because why not? You are transferring a stake in the land to a woman. Why shouldn't that be? Assuming you could use karka for kesef, here using chatzi kinyan and karka as kesef. And the Rashba says it's not called Davar Mechudash. Now, we may yet see a different way to read this Eino Mechudash, but right now, you're not transferring something she didn't have before. So the act of transference, which has to be a symbolic effective act, is failed. We may see some other ways to view this tomorrow. Okay, this is all just the preview of the sugya. And this is just the squaring things up, you know, getting the playbook out, getting everyone on the same page. The real action is going to take place in the second half of the sugya. Rabbi says, well, this will work. What's this? What's this? What about this? What about this case? And some of the thises will spill over back to milveh. Right? It's clear Rabbi is creating real polarity. You can't be mekadesh with the milveh, everything we said today, but you can be mekadesh with the hanas milveh. What's hanas milveh? We extend the loan a few extra days. Well, once you open that genie, let it out of the bottle, what about that of canceling a loan? As we'll see today. So it's the middle stages that are going to bring us right back to the sugya. I don't think we're finished with Milva. Oh, Abai goes all the way out, right? Josh, Abai's case is not Milva, it's basically Hana's Milva. I could have said, the Hana that, you know, you're seen as a rich person, that you have a lot of money, whatever. The Hana that I'll say nice things to you when you pay back. It seems to be extrinsic Hana. Extending a loan is just, by the way, you and me happen to be, like you said, Ephraim, we could be together in a road stop and I dance for you and sing a song. Just happens, our road stop is we happen to meet each other across the table of a halva. Since you owe me money, you know, and instead of me singing to you, you're my lover, I sing a song to you, I give you an extra month. It has nothing to do with the loan, and it's just giving you hana. Let me bring it back to milk. Okay? Yeah, Siri. Yeah, we'll see. Well,
I'm saying with the Rashi.
Hard to know the Rashi. Well. Yeah, we're missing a Rashi and Ksivos. So let's wait for Rashi and Ksivos to punch in. Okay, Avi.
So when we say that your das for Shiva or Kesef or Hana, does that necessarily mean that just in this case we say Stam das for that thing? Or maybe intrinsically in the Malva, it is a Kinyan, it is like a das or like some extrinsic way of Shiva. It's like, it doesn't seem that people are bringing the possibility of just having a different das and making
right out the question. Okay, you're circling. Right out the question, come to me with a question. Okay? It's good. Do this 10 times, you'll thank me for it. Okay? Yes?
But for Rashi and Ritha, you said the soul with Amaye is like you're trying to do the Kesef as well as Tame, no? Then how do they deal with the fact that, at least in Nikar Adin, me being a Kaddish woman with a debt that someone else owes me works? Because there too, the Kesef is gone.
I wasn't listening fully. Say it again. According to Rashi, you can't use the Mos.
According to Rashi, basically, you're trying to be Mekadesh with the Mos are gone. Right? But then the Mos are also gone when I left Reuven, and now I'm trying to give, you know, my.
You're right. If you ask Rashi, as we'll see tomorrow and today in Rashi, can you be Mekadesh woman with a Chov? The answer would be yes.
But why?
Because maybe he argues that with Valamar, maybe Kiddusha needs less, Hana, as you said in the run. There are many, many different ways to follow a successful kiddushin with a chov, whether it's a cherem or didei, and the only reason by apostles is because of the mos.
But when Rashi and Bamav and Zayin Beis, right, when he says nevek tenai hod the rav that mar mekash milve nevek kudashet, and then he's talking within the brayta of the hirshal, right, and within the chiluk of what's it called of whether your stuff versus her stuff, where we end up, sorry, your debt to her versus your debt to other people, where you end up invoking the entire Brisa as your debt to other people.
Okay. But it doesn't mean that Rashi feels you can't be. It just happens that Brisa is talking about Chov Decher, and it doesn't mean that we passel Chov Dida. So it means in the end of the day, the Brisa is only talking about Chov Diacher. There's no statement in that Rashi that says you can't be Mekadosh a woman with Chov Dida. Rashi never says that.
Rashi's in the room. In
what did he say?
Well, oh, that's Mos. But I'm not talking about Chov, I'm talking about
Mos.
Ah, you're saying I'm using Chov here, but not Mos. Ah, I see. Okay, fine.
Josh?
The Ramban is doing the act is pure. And also,
it's hard, he says so little. We're trying to translate what he'd say about a third level question that comes up. It's hard.
He views, could it also be seen as how closely they view the connection of Jews to other kingdom?
For sure.
The Ramban's parallel, the kingdom here, the Jews seem to be elsewhere. Yeah.
Sure. Well, you can't really prove that's a negative because he's saying Kiddushin needs at least as much as regular Kinyan. And if Chov doesn't work for regular Kinyan, so does that mean all it needs is Kinyan? You're trying to prove by omission, not commission. That's a flawed logic. Kiddushin has to at least be presented. Until we disprove that minimalist view, has to be at least Kinyan. It has to be more than Kinyan, that's an open question. Ramban is on that lower end of the spectrum, has to be at least Kinyan. And Chov fails even at Kinyan. Okay? Okay, here are the makaros. Let's get cooking. Here's the real sugya. Okay.